things got a little bit interesting around the Night House. Welcome to Nightly Connections. My name is Steven, and I know this episode is coming to you a little bit late. Haven't really had the time to sit down and record, even though I've made time. It's technically not quiet right now, but I'm going to make an effort to record this episode. Right now, it is snowing in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on December the 13th. It's pretty interesting, so to speak. It's not quiet by any means at all. Kids are thoroughly excited about the snow and going outside and playing in the snow. And I'm not quite awake yet. But I'm going to get them outside and let them play as long as they can. What I want to talk about, that way I'm not rambling at all, is today's topic right now is going to be marriage isn't perfect. Now you may ask yourself, how can you talk about marriage isn't perfect and you've been married for such a short time? Well, I've witnessed one of the most perfect marriages, well, almost perfect marriages that I could in my childhood and into my adult life. And that would be my grandmother and my grandfather. Despite their differences, despite their fights, despite everything that happened behind closed doors, they didn't let anything happen right before my eyes or anybody's eyes from my perspective. Any fights they had behind closed doors, unless it got really, really big. And right up until they left this earth, they loved each other. Despite what was going on in their lives, despite them being in the same house but in different rooms, they still loved each other. They stayed married to the very end. It's kind of hard speaking on this subject because I know my marriage isn't perfect. I know that me and my spouse have fault. We've had fights. We've had fights that should have ended our marriage. And yet, we worked through it. That's what marriage is about. It's not about who's right, who's wrong. It's not about what your spouse is lacking. It's about working together, putting not 50-50, but 100-100. Marriage is 200%, not 100%. You have to be willing to give your all. And if you're not willing to give your all, then what is the purpose of saying I do? What is the purpose of you wanting to spend the rest of your life with someone? I'm just trying to figure it out in one retrospect. I can't state names, but I've been talking back and forth with a friend. And I'm not airing out any business because it's not my business. But I've been trying my best to counsel this friend, letting that friend know that if he's not willing to put in 100%, then what was the purpose of being married? It's not about who does more or who does less. It helps whenever you're putting full effort into everything. It helps just a little bit whenever you clean the house or whenever you wash the dishes or do the laundry. It helps. Not only mentally, but emotionally as well. I've only been married for 6 years, and what they say is true. The first 5 years are the hardest because you're still trying to figure that person out. Even though me and my spouse have been living together for the past 12 years, marriage is something different. But maybe that's the reason why my marriage has worked. because we have been together for 12 years. We've been together for 6 before our marriage. And we're still figuring each other out as we speak. Most people fail to realize that whenever you get married, you can keep things the same or things will change. But it is up to you to not let them change. As I sit here contemplating and thinking, what is the reason you got married? Is it because you still feel butterflies in your stomach whenever you see her or him? Is it because every time you go out, it still feels like that magical first date? I want to hear your answers. Feel free to message me on Facebook or message me on Twitter. That should be very, very interesting to hear. Right now, it sounds like it's starting to get louder outside of my door. My kids are really wanting to go outside and play in the snow. This is really the first big snowfall we've had since we've been back, since we came back in 2016. Right now, my wife works overnights, and this goes back to that whole 100-100. In the past, I have worked a lot more than she has. But then again, I have not, because I see a different perspective of it. And the reason why I say I see a different perspective is because I'm not the only one that's working. Even though did not have a job outside of our home, she was working to perfect our home inside these four walls. Let me explain. She stays here, maintaining our home. She stays here watching our children play, teaching our children as we go through this pandemic with schooling. Now she's a CNA. She's outside of the home. She's working a lot more than I am outside of this home. I work a 40-hour work week now. She's working anywhere between 52 to 60 hours a week, which I applaud her for because she is a very strong person to do it. Now, I've had the question come up, and this is about to get a little bit touchy for some of the men out there because they are going to say, no, this isn't right. But you got to remember something. We're not living in the 60s or 70s anymore where the men are the only breadwinners. My wife's paycheck on a two-week basis is more than mine. Does that bother me? No. Why would that bother me? It's coming into the same household. It's coming into the same bank account. What we make in our job fields is our money. That's how we look at it. It takes care of our house. It takes care of our kids. It takes care of our bills. And when we go on vacation, it takes care of our vacation. That's what most people fail to realize. Marriage is not just 100%. It's not half and half from each spouse. It's 100%, it's 100%, 100%, 200% of the time. If you cannot realize this, then your marriage is set up to fail in the long run. And you got to understand that if you can't give that 100% and your spouse is giving that 150% to make up for the 50 you're not giving, that marriage is doomed to fail. Most people don't understand that. Most couples don't understand that. When you get into a marriage, it's a totally different ball game. It's not, oh, we could take a break. No. If you take a break, then 9 times out of 10, you're saying that you're divorcing. And the divorce rate in the United States now, because of my generation and generation after me, is astronomical. I don't have exact figures in front of me, but the divorce rate is insane. Do you see how the older generation, they're passing on now, but they live it out to the end? And the reason why they live it out to the end, because they work through their problems. They understand that you give 100. You give your all, not half, not a quarter. You give it your all. Even for those couples that have kids and they're still with their partners that gave them those kids, you have to give it your all. If you don't, then what is the point of being together? What is the point of laying down and making that child? Yes. Now, let me correct myself really, really fast before I make people upset. And that's one thing I don't want to do. I understand that sometimes the relationship does not work. I'm not saying stay together for the benefits of the children. No, don't do that, because that creates a more toxic situation than you splitting up from your partner or your spouse. If you two truly cannot work it out, then don't stay together for the sake of your kids. Don't stay together because you want him or you want her to be in the house. That way they don't know mommy and daddy are having problems or mommy and daddy are fighting. No, that creates a toxic situation. And that is the last thing you want to do for your child or your children, is raise them in a toxic situation. Because that teaches them, oh, this must be right. I can do this with my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my husband or my wife. No, that's not right. Yes, divorce is bad. Yes, splitting is bad. Yes, laying down with a child and then splitting up is bad. But if you two truly cannot work out your differences, then it is best to be apart and together for the sake of your child. And that's because of the toxicity of the matter. Hey everyone, thank you so much for streaming my podcast. It means the world to me that I can talk about things going on in my life, knowing that most of you are going through the same thing. Now that I have your attention, make sure you subscribe to my podcast wherever you get your podcast. Spotify, Apple, Google, it does not matter. But I do have a serious question. Would you like to be on the show? If so, message me on Facebook or Twitter. I want to know how you've been dealing with the pandemic, whether you are on lockdown or you've been working the entire time. Also, I definitely want to highlight our first responders as well. They deserve all the credit during this. If you know anyone that is interested, let me know. Boy, the way that the world is working now has really changed things up. As I'm recording this part of the show, I'm currently sitting at home with all four kids. Yes, you heard me correctly. All four kids. And it is incredibly peaceful. And the reason being is because the boys, they are completely obsessed with Puppy Dog Pals and Paw Patrol and Blaze, the monster truck. And right now they're watching Puppy Dog Pals because I can't get Noggin to stream on the Google Chromecast that they currently have in their bedroom. Why that is, I have no idea. They just don't stream it at all. Right now, the girls are actually doing benchmark testing, which is absolutely perfect because the boys are actually so quiet and so peaceful that they're not bothering their sisters at all. So they're in the kitchen while I'm sitting in our media room doing this. It just simply amazes me. And then on top of that, I can actually keep an eye on everything that's going on. What I want to talk to you guys about in this segment is a little word that goes along with what I talked about in the first part of the show. And that is the word commitment. Commitment. What that word means, and I'm literally reading this from the dictionary, by the way, is the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, activity, or etc. It's an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom or action. That's the second part of it, and that's coming straight from Oxford Dictionary. Now, the word commitment, it doesn't only mean you're committing to a cause or an activity, but actually, I wouldn't even consider marriage a cause. It's marriage is the ultimate end game for a couple. Let me explain that real quick. And the reason why I say it's an ultimate end game for a couple is because that's mainly what couples aim for. It amazes me that we have commitments. You're committing to that person. You're committing to that person for life. And when a divorce happens, you're breaking that commitment that you made to that person in front of, well, an audience or a couple of witnesses, or it could be between you, your spouse, and your pastor and God. If you go that way, I'm not going to down any religions. That's not me. But when you're making that commitment to someone, it is the ultimate commitment. It is, you're going to be there through thick and thin. You're going to be there through sickness and through health till death do you part. That's pretty much how it sums up. But when you break that commitment, you're saying that you're no longer committed to it. You're no longer wanting to do it anymore. And sometimes that's a good thing, because sometimes the relationship doesn't work out as well as you planned, or you're losing that butterfly feeling effect. And if that's the case, then it is my recommendation for you, it is definitely time to sit down with a counselor to find out why. For the past 6 years that me and my wife have been married, things have definitely changed, but also we can go back and talk to each other and figure out what we can do to reignite that feeling, the first feeling that when we got together, the first feeling when we started dating, the first feeling when we had our firstborn child, our second, and our third and fourth. Third and fourth was a roller coaster. I don't have time to go into that story. That's for a later time. But it amazes me that most people, whenever they get together, yes, it's the butterfly feeling. They enjoy it. They love it. But the moment that they get married, they want to change. You got to understand, your relationship shouldn't change because of a status change. Yes, by all means, if that is exactly what you want to happen, then go for it. But take my marriage, for example. Me and my wife are the same. And the reason why I say that we are the same is because our relationship did not change. Yes, our status changed, very much so, but we are still very much the same people. Most people, and this is for the older generation, yes, I'm going to poke fun at you guys for a second, and I do apologize in advance, so do not come at me in my DMs because of the statement that I'm going to be saying. The older generation states that when you get married, you can't hang out with the same people that you hang out with. Some of that is true, some of that is false. And believe me when I say this, some of the people that we used to hang out with, we no longer do. Let me explain. Those that are single, those that do not have a married mindset, they can cause trouble or disruption. But in terms, some of them do not, because they understand the boundaries that are being made and they know not to cross those boundaries, because they know that there are consequences of losing friends, losing people that they deeply care about. And that goes the same on the other end as well. The married couple knows that if, say, I hang out with someone and my wife clearly states that she does not like them, okay, it's time to cut ties. Or in some terms, do not bring them around. It's a respect thing. And me and my wife got into a discussion yesterday about it. It's a respect thing. Like, if we have company over at the house, if either one of us aren't here, it's respectful to let the other know. And I'm going to get myself in trouble for this. I'm the one that dropped the ball on that this time. I did not let her know that company was coming over to the house and everybody was gone, because I had I had openly made dinner plans late, and that was on me, and I screwed up, and I own that. I'm going to continue to own that when I screw up. It's because I should have did that earlier during the day, but everything else was tied into it. But again, I dropped the ball. What it all boils down to is another word, communication. And I'm going to give you the definition of communication as well. The word communication, the imparting or exchanging of information or news. It means a means of sending or receiving information such as phone lines or computers or talking. Why in the world do they not say that? Just talk. It doesn't have to involve screens or technology. Jeez. Ironic, right? I'm recording this on a computer and I'm over here talking about not involving screens or computers. Communication is definitely something that every couple, actually everyone, struggles with. And the reason this is because lately we have not been able to communicate in the same ways that we have in the past. Used to, we could go over to each other's houses and sit down and have a chat over a cup of coffee or a drink or play video games with a friend and have a good time. But now with all this pandemic mess going on, that's kind of harder to do because everybody's being so cautious. And trust me when I say this, and believe me when I say this, I'm not downplaying the pandemic at all. And it may seem that way, but I'm definitely not. I know it exists. I know the virus exists. There should have been a better way to handle it, in my opinion. But it wasn't, and we got to move past it. But back to this word communication. Communication is key. And the reason why I say communication is key is because it makes life better on every single aspect, every single end. Most of the time I drop the ball with communication and I understand that. Again, I own that. And it's not only me that drops the ball with communication. My wife does as well. And so do some of my friends. That's part of the reason why when things happen or when we plan things, we either shoot out a group text, let them know saying, hey, such and such is happening. Would you be okay with it? Or, hey, we're planning on doing this. Would you like to go? Things of that nature. Communication is actually the biggest issue between couples, between friends, between human beings in general. Like me, I homeschool my girls every single morning before I go to work. And Tuesdays and Wednesdays are my days off. So I dedicate that time to instruct and get them up to par where they need to be. My oldest girl was actually a month behind in homeschooling. And I'm not sure how I did that or what I messed up on. But I got her all the way caught up. And that was probably a communication issue on my part. See, even communication works with children as well. If you don't communicate with your kids on exactly what needs to be done, then the problem here entails it does not get done. You still have that issue. You still have that problem. And whenever that teacher comes to you and say, hey, why isn't so-and-so doing this, this, and this as I instructed? Well, then I have to come up with an answer. Because I'm the one that dropped the ball. Because I'm the one that's acting as the teacher as well. And to all those homeschooling parents out there, keep rocking it out. Because whether you know it or not, you're a teacher as well. And I commend you for it because it takes time and patience to deal with everything that's going on. And to the teachers that are working from home or the teachers that are working in this pandemic in the schoolhouses, I commend you as well. I definitely commend you because it is not easy. I've been doing this for the past, since August. This has not been easy at all. This has not been an easy transition. I've done homeschooling in the past. I did it with my oldest whenever she was in kindergarten. And that was a cakewalk because I had some awesome people standing behind me. I have an awesome teacher standing behind me right now. I'm not going to mention his name due to privacy, but I want him to know that he's an amazing teacher and he needs to keep doing what he's doing with his students because it is awesome. My girls are learning. They're actually in the middle of benchmark testing right now to see exactly where they are. And that benchmark testing is not only for them, it is for me as a parent and a teacher to see exactly what they have learned. Again, that word communication comes into play. Their teacher tells me all the time that most parents are out of tune with him. They don't communicate well to him. In the middle of our moving, whenever we moved into our new house, I let him know the previous 2 weeks in advance saying, hey, this is such, such, and such is about to get ready to take place. They're not going to be in tune with their schoolwork for that week. And he came back and replied and said, thank you for letting me know that. I know moving can be difficult. You guys be safe. He understood. And I love that about this teacher, is that I communicate with him, he communicates with me, and everything is good as long as that line of communication stays open. The same thing has to happen in your personal life as well, with your spouse, with your girlfriend, with your boyfriend, with your husband, with your wife. It has to happen. If that line of communication is cut off, then the relationship is doomed to fail. I cannot stress that enough. Communication is key. If that line of communication is cut off, it is doomed to fail. It is going to fail out of the gate. If those expectations are not communicated, it is going to fail. It's going to blow up in your face. And also, I've had moments like this, and so has my wife, where we thought we told each other something and we did not. And we admit that we dropped the ball on it because there was no verbal communication and there was no message communication at all. She works during the days, and most of the times I'm working late at night past 8 or 9 o'clock. Lately, it hasn't been that way, especially with this round of snow that we just got and with the holidays. You would think that my job would pick up because I'm a delivery driver and everybody's at home during the pandemic. But also, no one has money for this either. But I'm going off on a tangent. Let's get back to communication real quick. But if you guys aren't communicating, then it's not going to work out. Simple as that. If you don't set the expectations to communicate, me and my wife, when she started working, we used to didn't talk on the phone at all. We would send text messages, a few text messages back and forth while I was at work, but she also knows that I'm busy. And I know now that she's busy as well, and I actually have more time on my hands because of the job switch that I went through. But we communicate. It was last week. We stayed on the phone for 2 hours of my shift, me running back and forth the doors, delivering packages, and we stayed on the phone talking for 2 straight hours while she was at work, while I was at work. And guys, guess what? That was really, really nice. That got back to the basics. Whenever we first started dating, and I'm about to show my age a little bit. we started talking on Yahoo Messenger. And whenever Yahoo first got their video calling, we used to video chat each other. She would be at her house on her laptop. I would be at my house on my desktop. And we would video chat. And I remember one night in particular, we both fell asleep talking to each other while our video calls were still on. And we both woke up in the middle of the night realizing that it was still on. I think that couples really need to get back to things like that. My mom and her husband actually do that as well. They would talk late at night on the phone and then they would fall asleep next to each other. Her phone will still be running. His phone will still be running. He's a truck driver. She's an RN. And they would fall asleep on the phone as that phone call still went on. 7, 8, 9 hours, they would be talking. They would fall asleep literally next to each other's phones. I think that if couples got back to the basics, marriages wouldn't be on a downfall is the way they are. Yes, you can be sleeping next to your spouse. Yes, you can say you love you to your spouse. But let me ask this question. Is the I love yous that you send out platonic? Or do you actually put meaning behind them? I'm going to leave you guys with that question today. And I'm going to encourage you. Keep your commitments. Keep that line of communication open. This has been Nightly Connections. I will see you next time.